Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Here we go. Finally announcing this, so excited because of all the work that has been going into the new app and mobile platform, Gen.Health. Seriously, this thing is going to like help gamify your health, gamify your wellness, and help rid those pains that you're having, lead you directly to the exact information that you might be looking for of Jen's, whether it's from her Instagram, whether it's from any of her old programs. This is going to be unlike anything Jen has put out before. So if you're interested, now the waitlist is open, and we want you to go into the show notes, click the link. It's gen.health, not gen.health.com, no.com, gen.health. Enter your number and you will be on the waitlist so you can be one of the first ones on the platform to help find your path to wellness. Get into that right now. So for this next guest, I'm so excited to have Hero in. He is such an amazing friend of both Jen and mine, and really, aside from being an incredible just yoga master, he'd be able to help you progress your yoga practice to the nth degree. He's just a genuine person. He's someone that I would be able to sit with and talk to and tell about my life at any time. And he really applies that into his yoga practice. He understands that yoga is definitely about more than just our physical being. And yoga is individual to each and every person. So here's a little bit more about Hero. Hero has always known from a young age that he wanted to help heal others. He began teaching in yoga 2007 while pursuing a dual master's degree in medical pharmacology and cardiopulmonary surgery. He ultimately realized that he had greater purpose in life to help more people through the power of yoga. He began to develop a style of yoga that would help heal injuries along with increasing functional strength, flexibility, and emotional intelligence. Incorporating his vast knowledge in anatomy and science, Hero created Body Smart Yoga. Body Smart Yoga is meant to empower his students to find deeper awareness of their physical and emotional bodies through detailed self-assessment and injury prevention. Hero's ultimate mission is to heal, re-educate, and inspire students and teachers to break through their self-limiting beliefs. And really, in this podcast, again, he's going to go into so much about yoga and how you can take yourself outside the scope that you may have been practicing in and add a few things into your practice. Also, we're going to be talking about a shoulder challenge that he actually has launching. So we're going to have the link down in the show notes. And again, if you're looking specifically for some shoulder information, trust me, you're going to want to check out his challenge. So go grab that link in the show notes, but stay tuned because he has so many amazing tips coming up.
This is a super exciting interview because we get to interview our good friend, Hero, Action Hero. If you guys do not know him on social media, would you just go look him up right now on Instagram, Action Hero, H-I-R-O. Hi, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me, you guys.
Dude, we're super excited to have you on, one, again, because you're such an awesome dude and we love hanging out with you, but two, just because of your philosophy and everything that you're growing into in the space of yoga is, again, super inspiring. We talk all the time about how you educate and why that's so important, especially in the world of yoga. But kind of where we like to start is why you're so passionate about using this avenue to educate people into their bodies.
I have a deep respect for the yoga practice, especially the philosophy. But I do think that the science, the anatomy, the knowledge of those things have developed quite a bit over the recent years. And it shouldn't be this two ends of the spectrum kind of deal where it's like yoga on one end and then anatomy and science on the other. And I really want to show how it could fuse together. And really produce something beautiful and beneficial for everyone. So yeah. I mean, I'm just going to dive right into it.
Let's do it.
I think the way that I was taught yoga and a lot of us were taught yoga was shapes relative to lines, like creating lines, but we don't have a single clean bone, like straight line bone in our body. So it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. And on top of that, whenever we feel something, it's always muscular, not bone. Well, you know, if you are, kind of doing yoga wrong, but you get what I'm saying, right? So it makes sense to approach practice from an engagement standpoint as opposed to just lines, creating lines and shapes, in my opinion.
I think that's huge because at least my experience when I was first getting started with yoga, it was very focused on looking at the mirror. What do I look like, right? What does it appear like? And do I look exactly like the teacher or like the people around me? Or, you know, and it's like it becomes more of an aesthetic practice almost rather than what you're actually feeling. And I remember it wasn't until I started learning Pilates actually and realizing all these little muscles that I never paid attention to that I walked out of a yoga class the next time with a whole new appreciation for yoga.
Yeah, I was the same way, starting out looking in a mirror, trying to mimic the teacher. And I think it's not entirely bad because you need some sort of reference point, right?
Yeah.
But I do think it's been taken a bit too far, where it's like, if you don't look like this, then you have something to work on. Well, it doesn't leave a lot of room for difference in anatomy between people's bodies. So yeah, I agree. I took Pilates and had the same experience, same appreciation and a new perspective on engagement.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, it was more so I really did a deep dive into yoga. I started with Ashtanga, and Ashtanga is a very dedicated practice. You start at like 5 something in the morning, don't practice on full moon days or whatever. And you know, it's quite intense. And I felt great when I was in the practice, but as soon as I was out of the practice, all my old injuries came back. I was still limping, old football injuries or things of the sort, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, tons of injuries there. So it just didn't really make sense that the yoga practice was supposed to be for the body and for your life. And I definitely felt aligned with that if I was in the yoga studio, but as soon as I stepped out, I didn't feel that way. Lots of pain in the body. So, yeah.
So what do you think results in that? Because again, I think that is what draws a lot of people into that practice. They feel so good while they're doing it, but then it's really not helping with a lot of these functional issues out in the world. So I don't know. I don't think that's only specific to this Ashtanga. I don't know. I'm probably not saying that right.
No. That's right. Yeah. And it is, Ashtanga is just one style, but
yeah,
all the practices are pretty similar in the sense of they just focus on flexibility. Flexibility doesn't matter if you're hypermobile, doesn't matter if you have history being a rhythmic gymnast or dancer, so you have that flexibility. A lot of the postures in yoga, you're not going to do outside of the yoga room. You're not going to walk down the street in a warrior two. You know what I mean?
You're not
going to go to sit down on a chair, squeezing your knees together and like sticking your arms over your head. So, I'm a huge believer that your body is going to get used to whatever modality that you do the most. And for a lot of yogis, we're just doing yoga. We're just working on flexibility. On top of that, the alignments are so ingrained that it has to be this way. So knee can't go over the ankle at any point in the practice. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you have to tie your shoe or walk up the stairs? Now it's like, okay, there's a bit of knee pain. Let me go do yoga to fix that. Yet there's no place in the yoga practice where the knee goes over the ankle. So you never train the part that's hurting you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that part doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that is so true about having the strict rules. And it's hard, right? We're not expecting every instructor to have this huge education of anatomy and physiology and everything. So if you've been told and taught one way, that's what you're going to say. But I think giving people also the permission to be like, well, that doesn't feel good for me. What if I explored something outside of that? And I think, you know, that's something hard for people to do still if they go to a yoga class and they're being told exactly what to do. Like, how do you kind of start to address people's body on a large scale? Because you are big in social media, Mm-hmm. The people are, you know, following what you're saying and what you're practicing. So how do you start to allow people access into their bodies in a different way?
Well, I think the answer is in part social media. Mm-hmm. I think prior to social media, you had a guru in the style of yoga and you listened to that one person and that was it. And there's no pushback, right? It's not like you as a student know any better. So you're going to go ahead and listen to this guy that's been doing it for 30, 40, 50 years. Makes sense. But now with social media, especially with everyone people who take it seriously, trying to up their game and provide visuals and anatomy and like diagrams and things like that, it makes it easier for the consumer to see, okay, this makes sense. He's explaining it from, I'm just going to use me as an example. Okay, he's showing the same posture that I was taught from my old teacher, but now he's explaining it a bit differently. Okay, now you have the option to whether agree or dive a bit deeper or not, right? And then it's a choice. So for me, I just want people, it's not necessarily that I'm trying to create a separate style of yoga. I'm really just trying to educate people on their bodies and how it relates to the yoga practice. Because the reality is, if you do a yoga teacher training, you get 10, 20 hours of anatomy. And for me, that was like 1 or 2 days of studying for medical school, right? And I don't think it should be a requirement or a prerequisite for all yoga teachers to spend $250,000 for something like medical school. But the flip side to that is you do get quite a bit less education. So this is where I think I fit a nice little niche. I never intended on being a yoga instructor for my career, just so we're clear. But it's a good way of utilizing that education. So,
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I kind of want to go back to something you talked about where like, it's not about making the line or it's not about making the shape. And it makes me want to call BS on you because if you go and look at your page, you make some really amazing shapes and lines and all this sorts of stuff. So how is going back and focusing on activations rather than just pushing into any hypermobility or anything that I have to get the shape going to help me be more successful, but even help me maybe achieve those lines and shapes someday in a better way?
Right. I know I made the argument for social media. Here's the argument against social media. There's so many people posting shapes and no one really knows their history, right? If they grew up doing gymnastics or dance since they're 2 years old, they're just going to be in a very different place in their 20s than someone who never played those sports and just like me, played the piano and played golf, right? But when you do switch your understanding of stretching and start to dive into some active stretches, some isometric stretches, engagements, then you can really feel and assess out your body as opposed to just letting everything go, trying to hit the shape, right? And I don't know if too many teachers are teaching that way. Yoga teachers, I do see it popping up a little bit more, physical therapist influence into the yoga practice. So thanks, you two. Speaking for everyone in my world, we appreciate it. So I do see people knowing how to be a bit more careful. To answer your question, I just don't think that we really knew. It was just hit the shape. If we feel something bad, it's because we are doing something bad, not because there's not enough information in the practice. Mm. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Totally.
When I think like you're doing such a great job, as you have said, with your page being educational, not only your page, but also then your programs, your challenges. Like you go deeper on a level of instruction that I haven't really seen as often. And you come up with specific drills that are really going to help facilitate what people feel. And I think that's what makes the biggest difference, rather than the end goal being achieve this pose, which obviously will be, but it's more about what are you feeling along the way and what are the little cues that I can give to provide that feedback into the body, which is everything Dom and I do. So the fact that you do that in a yoga sense that's everything. I do want to like pick apart some poses that people might say like, oh, this is what you should do. This is how you should get there. So some that, you know, have been talked about, like we could just say pigeon pose, forcing your leg at a perfect 90 degree angle.
Oh, yeah. 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 Okay. So before we get into that, thank you for all that. But it was, I don't know if anyone knows, but it was your, it was your idea for me to do this style of content in the yoga world. So thank you. I appreciate it.
It's going over kind of well, I'd say.
Yeah, it is great advice, Jen. Thank you. I owe it all to you. Okay. So pigeon pose. Yeah. It's, oh man, that one, I think a lot of times, maybe not even yogis, but people associate pain with like something being tight. Okay. That's kind of the more obvious one, but not necessarily weak, right? Or tight and weak. So especially in my world, when we feel any kind of issues, we just assume that yoga is like the Windex. Have you seen that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where Windex solves everything?
Yeah.
You know?
It fixed everything.
So for us, stretching is like our Windex. So if we feel any kind of pain or tightness, it's like, oh, let's just stretch. Oh, any kind of instability, oh, let me just stretch it out, right? I'm going to do handstands. Well, let me warm up by stretching, which doesn't make sense because a lot of these postures, going back to pigeon pose, there are places where you need some stability, right? Your joints. Great example. Why are we trying to stretch out into our joints so much? Stretch out all these passive structures, especially when you have someone who's a bit more flexible. I just see people going into deeper and deeper variations of pigeon pose when ultimately you're not getting any deeper into the muscle. You're just really stretching into passive structures. So, but it's justified because the sensation is there. And then next thing you know, several years down the line, that's when I get a DM from a lot of these people. It's like, hey, I've been practicing forever, but now I have all this like weird hip stuff, right? You have these teachers who are saying like, oh, you're in pigeon pose, you're stretching out your piriformis, which, I mean, yes, true, but it's sort of like, in order to stretch out your piriformis, you need to be at a 90 degree angle, which may be true for someone, but may not be true for another person. You can't use generalized cues when it comes to body position because everyone's body is a bit different. You can have a woman who has been practicing forever and then she gives birth and now things are a little different, right? So even from the same person, you might need a slightly different cue. Now, how do you normalize that? My opinion is if you speak into engagements instead of bone position, then you have a higher probability of getting people aware. And ultimately, in my world, that's what you want, awareness, not body position or shapes.
That's huge.
Yeah, I think that's so important. A few of the things you said is just like not using generalized cues.
Yes.
Not acting like you know exactly the muscle that they're stretching in their body and exactly what's going on because of clear anatomical differences we see across humanity. You know, not everyone's exactly the same with the same lever sizes and muscle insertion points and everything. Things can drastically change between two individuals. So like, I'm glad that you bring those points up, that if a yoga teacher or instructor is giving a cue that you just continue to feel is not congruent with your body, you are probably right.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't continue to let them try to hammer a square peg into the round hole that you are and instead explore a little more within your own body. So say somebody has been trying to do these pigeon poses and continuing to deepen into them and is coming to you now with hip pain, what might you tell them as a suggestion to do something different or find that activation in their hips?
So to that question specifically, if they've been practicing for a long time, not really seeing results that they want, Firstly, I would look at how they're doing pigeon pose, and like 99% of the time, they're always just passively stretching into it. It's very yin or restorative style where they're just laying down on their hip. So for me, the very first thing is just to switch it up and make it a bit more strength-based, right? Provide a bit of isometric engagement, see how that works. It does a couple of things, right? It doesn't just provide muscular tone or a bit of engagement, but it also brings it back to the ego, or trying to let go of the ego. Because for X amount of years, they're so used to being in this deep pigeon pose, but now they have different engagements and they can't go as deep. Now you're getting into what the yoga practice is supposed to be and about releasing that ego. So that's why I love teaching a lot of stuff that you guys teach on your pages. I may or may not steal from my page or influence my page. So thank you again.
When you say, you know, an isometric engagement, if someone's listening and wants to try doing, you know, an isometric pigeon engagement, what would that look like for them?
Okay. So, well, the passive one would just be sticking your right leg forward, knee in line with your right shoulder, foot in towards your groin, or trying to reach that 90-degree angle, and then just trying to breathe and relax the muscle as much as possible. That's passive, and that's what we're all used to. So trying to drive the knee down into the ground, trying to take out any compensatory actions like coming into a back bend or rounding out the back forward, and keeping that straight spine so that the stretch is primarily in that hip, that right hip. That would be it. Just driving the knee down, driving the foot down.
Yeah, right? That's a great example to just start exploring. And usually when people start to activate, especially in those end range positions of a stretch, right, you know, it's very startling. You'll feel maybe some cramping or some pain. It definitely feels very different in the body. And that's what makes it then just more active within the body. Like, the body's craving safety anyway, so might as well give it what it wants rather than just relaxing into end range positions all the time. And that's where, like, our friend Jill Miller, who we've had on the podcast, and she has the tune-up fitness stuff.
I met her.
And she really had talked about, you know, how yoga traditionally, in the traditional sense, a lot of those passive postures that she used to force her body into really kind of screwed up her hips. And now her being in her 40s, already having a replacement done, like, she, she does attribute a lot of what she did, these extreme poses, placing the leg behind her head and forcing her body, where she was hypermobile or is hypermobile. So it was accessible. However, it was still a little extreme and very passively driven. Do you see, like, people still having to transition from that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you do see it a lot, especially in my hips program that I released, speaking into the cramping. A lot of these postures, they're just not used to doing an internal rotation with the hip. So there's cramping in, like, the TFL, or the front part of their hip, front side part of their hip. And I get questions all the time. It's like, I'm doing this wrong, or this exercise is wrong because this feels weird. And it's like, no, you're just used to things being very passive. So, similar story to Jill. I have, I was attempting foot behind the head, which I could do in my practice normally, doing an Ashtanga practice. And then one day, just tore my LCL, my foot just snapped. I mean, my knee just snapped. So, and I've had that injury as well as numerous hamstring injuries just from being a bit too passive in my stretches.
Wow.
To the point where after, I would say, about 6 years of practicing, I was just waking up with pain. And I just accepted it as normal, right? Like, we all wake up with pain in our bodies. That's a human condition, sure. But when I started switching over into looking at my practice as far as engagements, and I was very self-conscious about it, by the way. I remember trying this out in a yoga studio setting around other people, and someone went up to me and was like, "Are you injured?" Like, why are you not in the full splits? Why are you only stretching half of what a beginner would do? And, but it really did change my body. I started waking up, and even to this day, I don't wake up with pain anymore. There's no pain in my knee. There's no pain in my ankles. There's no pain in my shoulders, especially after a few dislocations from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And it really made me understand how important integration and strength and mobility, especially when you're going after these end range postures, just how important it is. Right? And speaking into the question that Dom had a bit earlier about me showing these extreme postures on my page, I really use it as inspiration of like, hey, you can do these postures safely, even if you've had injuries. It may be possible, but the way to go about it is to stay active in your stretches or whatever, right? And you'll have a higher probability that way and being safe with it than just being passive and trying to get into postures, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I think, like, also talking into this idea that strength isn't just what is built in the weight room. Mm-hmm. Right? Because obviously felt a difference based on what you do. How long has that taken to like build up?
To be completely honest, it took me about a year, but I didn't really start talking about it for another year after because I wanted to test this out on other body types. So I took a friend of mine who was hyper mobile and see if that helped her deepen her practice, deepen her stretches, but also have her feel more stable in her joints. And it worked. I worked with a boxer, so super tight. His range of motion was very limited. In that range, though, he was very powerful. And same results. Someone who had 3 knee surgeries, same results. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bad back, same thing. So I was like, okay, I'm definitely onto something here. Let me do this on social media.
That's awesome. And that's so cool to see how it was like, it was starting to stick across body type and you were finding this practice that really came in and helped the hypermobile people. It helped the hypomobile people who were more powerful, but more tight. When was it that, because I know that once you get really good at teaching the person who practices, it is good to then teach people who also teach, and you started to develop these teacher trainings and body smart yoga. When was it that this whole body smart yoga came about, and did that really come from all these things you were learning in your own practice?
Yeah, it definitely came from the stuff that I was learning in my own practice. As far as teaching the teachers, I kind of fell into it. I was just so focused on getting the content out there. And then I remember doing an Instagram story back in 2018, and I was like, hey, I'm considering teaching this stuff. If you own a studio, send me a DM. And you know how in your Instagram stories, you can have like a little box that you can fill out. I remember getting over 400 messages from studio owners, and they were like, come teach at my studio. And that's when I decided to just do a world tour. But the interesting part is when I would go into these workshops, in a room full of 50 people, there was maybe one person who wasn't a teacher. So, and I just never really knew that my demographic were teachers until I went on tour. It was just like every country that I hit, it was always a room full of teachers, which made me feel so good because it just tells me that these people who have gone and done 200, 500 hour yoga trainings, they're really craving like a deeper understanding of how the body works. And they really are craving to be a better teacher to their students. The same kind of experience that I went through when I was teaching, it's sort of like the first few years of teaching yoga, you're really excited and you're really grateful for the community that you built. And then you start getting some students coming in with like, hey, I have this specific issue. Can you help me? And then if you get really honest, you realize that you don't really, really know the answer. You know an answer, and that answer is, oh yeah, just do this posture. Why? Because my teacher told me. And when you get tired of like, oh, do it this way because that's the way I was taught. And that's the way my teacher was taught. When that's not a good enough answer, then you start looking for real answers. Mm-hmm. And in my world, there you can't find it, right? So that's why for me, I was, it's not that I was resistant to applying my medical knowledge or going to my PT friends who went to school for kinesiology or whatever. It just never occurred to me, right? It was always just like, oh, you feel this, you're supposed to do this posture. And I just remember it just hit me so abruptly one day where I was like, why am I not applying all this body knowledge that I have to yoga? Like, why is there this separation? And I think a lot of teachers are in that place.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so huge. And the fact that you're able to reach teachers just impacts the reach beyond that, right? That you have also, which is the goal. Like if we really want to start to change the way, at least physically, again, like you said, there's a broad spectrum of what yoga really is. However, if we're looking anatomically and physically, well, then understanding the body on that level does provide such a benefit, because even as physical therapists, it's like we only have a limited time with clients and then they are off to see their trainer, their yogi, their yoga instructor, their, you know, whoever, in order to rely on continued support within their body. And so knowing that they're going to see someone then that is going to be a little bit more educated on how they can guide them into what they're feeling is huge. And then to actually activate, I think is just, it's a whole nother level of yoga. And I've done your classes and I'm very familiar with the way you teach, which is it is mobility. You know, it's not just flexibility, but it's actively being able to get into these postures in a safe way. And it's hard. It's hard work.
Yeah. It's very challenging. And it's interesting because traditionally you have students coming in and falling in love with yoga, at least the physical part of yoga, because it is challenging, right? But man, with the active stretches, the isometric stretches, it's so challenging, but it's very different. And you see the people who are actually interested in learning more or developing their practice more, and the mm-hmm. people who just want it in a very, very specific way, in a very comfortable way, and they're only interested in increasing flexibility, not necessarily their own body health. Speaking into the whole teacher thing, it was a very conscious choice after that tour. I was like, you know, I could go and teach a room full of 50 people and I would feel great if I helped those 50 people. But what if they're all teachers? And I know the yoga teacher lifestyle where it's like, you're grinding it out, teaching 20 classes a week. And some of these teachers are teaching 100 students. So if I could reach just like one teacher and they teach 100 students a week or 200 students a week or more, then that's it. That's the move. That's where social media comes into play. And I know when you were doing your anatomy side by side, Jen, like there weren't a lot of players doing that.
Yeah.
But I do feel like you kind of paved the way. And I remember sitting at dinner with you and you were telling me to do it. And I was like, I don't want to steal that idea. And you're like, you need to do it. And I had a post, my very first one, it went viral. So I remember calling you and you're like, do it every day. Don't stop.
Every day till the rest, for the rest of your life.
Do not stop ever. So, but what you saw after that was a lot of yoga instructors doing the same thing, right? And it's fantastic because now it's like, if they're unfamiliar with anatomy, they're going to spend an extra hour or even 10 minutes researching, okay, what is this stretch actually do? What muscle group is it? Let me read up on this muscle group. So I feel like in the last few years, the education of yoga teachers have definitely upped a bit, definitely more so than the progression in previous years. So yeah, I do really thank you for that. I think you,
It's all your work. I don't know why you keep thanking me.
But that is definitely one of the benefits of, you know, that social media platform. Things are going to spread like wildfire versus in the past where it was snail mail version of this type of information getting passed between practitioners and stuff. And I think that's so valuable. You mentioned a little bit, and we've talked about how hypermobility can be an issue almost sometimes as people, if that's just where people stay. And it can honestly maybe end up causing issues later in life. How can this new, and you mentioned one example of a friend that you said who was hypermobile and you did your style of yoga with her and it really helped her out. Why does it help someone who's hypermobile a little bit more?
I'm trying to think of a posture where this would be relevant. So we have, we'll use like Warrior Three. Warrior Three is where you're standing on one leg with a straight leg. And you're sticking your arms out in front of you. You're kind of bent over in this 90 degree shape. So one leg is behind you, your head is in front of you, and your standing leg is like a straight leg. So most of the time, it's not really an issue. You just stack your joints, quote unquote. But if you're hypermobile, then now you got hyperextension in the knee. And you don't necessarily feel pain for a while, right? So maybe for the first, we'll call it year, 10 years, not an issue. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it's like, oh, there's pain. And they're going to attribute it to something else that they're doing in their life, probably outside of yoga if we're realistic. When really the issue is like in every single standing posture, probably when you stand up, when you're eating an ice cream cone, and definitely in your Warrior Three, you're just stacking your joints and you're in that hyperextension in that knee. Now, with the kind of yoga that I'm teaching, it's like, well, one, they're not aware that having a bit of engagement in their back body, like their hamstring or their calf, might help their, not might, but will help their hyperextended knee, right? So learning to be aware of how to even turn on your hamstring muscle and engage it, as well as seeing how it dictates your knee joint, right? And takes that hyperextension out. That's important. So now they've learned more. They've learned how to address their hypermobility in a way that is stabilizing their joint. And, you know, I think that's a huge win. Win, win, win.
I think that's a great example because, one, I think people in general, we tend to crave what we're good at, right? So if I'm already super mobile, well, then great. I'll just go into yoga because it's easy and I'm working out and I'm getting the joy of that, right?
Right.
But then, like you said, we end up, and like you and I both experienced coming into yoga at first, you don't feel anything. It's just like, oh, right. Let me go through the practice because I'm so pretty and I can do it.
Right.
Rather than actually understanding what's happening and to know that, you know, and I think a big push for hypermobility is strength training, which yes, and strength training doesn't have to look like at the gym lifting heavy weights if that's not what you feel comfortable with. So I think creating practices, and that's what you're providing for anyone, whether you're hypermobile or not, you're providing an access point for people to feel something different in yoga to be able to sustain it through life. And I think that's such a gift. Now, I know that you tend to cater more toward the teachers and the instructors. However, do you find that you have a good amount of like general population coming into your challenges and doing your programs as well?
Yes, definitely. Especially separating out my program, because my HIPS program counts towards continuing education units for teachers. Oh. But I actually took out the drills from that program and gave it separately. So that's where I'm finding a lot of people who do appreciate my page and the education. You know, with Instagram, you're only getting 60 seconds. Realistically, it's like 17 seconds of content. So here's a place where you can do a drill where I'm like struggling with you and sweating with you for like 12 minutes and guiding you through the practice. And I definitely see more general public or population there. Mm. And I'm releasing a shoulders program very soon where it's going to be a similar thing. You're going to have drills so it can really help you with your practice. If you do want to dive deeper, you don't necessarily have to be a teacher to do the full program, but it's going to be a bit more in depth. And it's not inaccessible. It's just, there's a lot of information there, a lot of value. Mm-hmm. So my game plan for all this is to kind of take people through the whole body, just part by part, hips, shoulders, back, and then the rest of the practice, and then combine it all together into a very comprehensive thing. And in that way, you can have a student or a practitioner or a teacher who's just very well educated. And even if they can't do some of the postures, you're very well educated in all of it relative to the yoga practice. So that's my goal with all these programs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
I think that's so awesome. And again, I think making it accessible down to the individual level is so important. And I mean, hips and shoulders, I think, are so awesome. And I think they're very similar in the way that they are the components that help us translate all of this stability and power in our core out to, right, you know, our extremities. And so they're similar in the way that our arm operates similar to our leg, our hip operates similarly to our shoulder. And I would encourage anybody to go check out that program of yours, because again, we've both done exercise and everything, yeah, with you, and have felt how it feels in our body. So super excited for people to try that out.
And what you said too, like, yes, Instagram, you can find a lot of education and information on your page. However, actually, and starting at the challenge, you have a challenge coming, mm-hmm, which I highly recommend, because it gives you a point of access into actually following something through. Like,
right.
Instagram is great to start to get, oh, look at this little key and this little tip that I can take at random. And maybe you try it that one time, or maybe you add it into a class. However, are you doing it on a consistent basis to actually feel change? And that's where this change that you're talking about is actually going to come from, is if you commit to it. And so I would encourage people to get into your challenge. Can you explain a little bit more about what your challenge entails?
Sure. I mean, before we get into it, though, I can't tell you how many times I've met people who are like, oh, I love your Instagram and I save all your content. And I'm like, great. Have you done it? And they're like, no, I'm going to get to it, but I have it all saved in a folder.
Yep.
All 700 videos I've saved.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, that compliance, man, even in the hospital, when I was working in the hospital, compliance is like one of the biggest issues, getting patients to actually do the stuff or take their pills or whatever, right? Now, getting into this challenge, the hips program, the hips challenge, the shoulders program, these are all things that I did for myself that got me out of feeling pain in my body. And the hips especially, it was like, I tried it out, tested it out on different body types, and they all had the same results. So there's that, right? With shoulders program, it's the same exact thing. We're doing drills. I'm doing it with you. So you get the pacing. I'm counting things out with you. This challenge, we're covering all the basic ranges of motion that you would find in yoga practice. So if you have tight shoulders, you keep coming into a back bend when you try for handstands in your yoga practice, then I'm going over shoulder flexion drills specifically. And I'm educating just a little bit, baby level, on why it's important, where it's important, and how you should approach it and how we're stretching. Same thing with back bends, right? External rotation and working on binds and internal rotation. So I'm taking you through drills that are very specific to all the things that you love to do in your practice. And then, of course, there'll be a bigger shoulders program where you're just going to learn all of it. If you're a teacher, it's going to be like, that's it right there. You're going to love it. You're going to definitely want to have it in your wheelhouse as a teacher. Yeah.
So you'll get just this taste in the challenge, which again, which is going to be a real hit in the face of education anyway.
Yeah.
But right, still, then you can go on to this massive masterclass of shoulder information that you have. So I think it's, again, awesome that you can take it at whatever level that you're hoping for. Where can people find these things? Of course, we're going to have it linked up in the show notes, but where should they go?
So if you go to my website, sign up for my newsletter, By the way, I haven't talked about my newsletter. I give away exclusive free content classes on my newsletter. So if you're not really ready to commit to anything and you just want to see what a little bit more information looks like and what a little bit more drills or involved drills look like, the newsletters are completely free. And I'm on there for like 5 to 10 minutes just walking you through stuff. That's where you're going to find it. Website, newsletter. That's where everything's going, you know? Instagram's great, but it's just 17 seconds of fun stuff with some cool music. But here, we're actually
cool anatomy things too.
Cool
that happen through those videos. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, websites, yeah. actionhero.com?
That's right. Sorry. Yes. www.actionhero. That's HIRO.com.
Perfect. Actionhero.com, and check them out online. Hero, thanks so much for being on with us. We're excited to be back in LA area and hang out.
Yeah, thanks you too. I really appreciate you having me.
I hope you really enjoyed that and just get a different approach of how you can start to explore yoga within your body and really feel something different. And I really just encourage you to join Hero's Challenge, because if you like the educational based stuff that I really provide, Hero does it in such a great way for yoga. And I know you're going to learn stuff, but really ultimately feel so much better in your body too. So I really encourage you, go check out that challenge. The link is in the show notes. And if you're enjoying this, please subscribe. Next week, we talk about posture. Is it bad? Is it something we need to fix? What is the correct posture? We're going to dive into it all. So stay tuned. If you're enjoying this, please, we so appreciate a little rate and review, because it just allows us to get heard by so many people so that we really start to help more people. That's what we're trying to do here. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.